Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast by the DG Institute. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher, and this podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. So if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as the vehicle to create wealth, and more importantly, what that wealth represents, financial freedom, you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In this episode, we're going to talk about small subdivisions. Subdivisions are a great way to make money in property. Even if it's your own home and you're subdividing off your backyard, sometimes the cost of selling off that subdivided block can really pay down the mortgage on your principal place of residence. So there's a lot of ways that you can approach a subdivision. Probably the quickest and easiest way is a block that is already made up of existing titles. So back in the day when an area became a new subdivision, people would sometimes buy a double block, and that would mean that they owned number 5 and number 7 and they built their home on it, and often it straddled both blocks, but sometimes they even built the house on one block and had the rest for yard and garden. So that's real low-hanging fruit if you want to look for a property that's already on separate titles. What that means is that you don't have to go to council. So you don't need approval at the land titles office. It already is two blocks. So if you buy a property like that, you can just sell them off separately as number 5 and number 7. So subdivisions can be just land, or you can build on the land, build something new or different that wasn't there before. Or you could even partner up with a builder and sell off property as a house and land package. Let's break that down and talk about a few of those options. So if you're selling as land only, then what you have to do is buy a block that is capable of being subdivided. The other thing that council may have is some restrictions around setbacks or the width of frontages. So you can't have a block that's too narrow or that falls away from the street. So there's a few things to look out for there, but you don't have to pound the pavement and to do it all alone. And you also don't have to go to council and sit down with their planning maps and try and figure it out and reinvent the wheel. There is software and there are a lot of tools that help you short circuit that journey so that you can merely go online and filter out properties that fit the bill in any government area. So you're able to say, I only want to see blocks that are 1200 square meters or greater with a frontage of 30 meters or whatever the case may be. To find out what's required, you can go to council. Council have an open door policy usually. Most councils will have a duty planner, and sometimes you can just rock up, but other times you may have to make an appointment depending on the council, and you can sit down with a duty planner and tell them what you're looking for, and they will give you the feedback of what you need to search for. There are also online tools, but they can get pricey, that will filter and search for you, that have all the information of any local government fed into them. So you can just say, in effect, I want to find a block to subdivide in the Lidcombe area, and it will have all of the information that's necessary, and it will show you what blocks fit your search criteria. And if they're off market, you can write letters to the owners, and if they're on market, well, happy day. If you're enjoying this podcast, we want to invite you to join the Property Lovers Facebook group. To find the group in Facebook, just search for Property Lovers. You'll see the group banner, which has the word Property Lovers Hub on it. It's a community for property lovers in Australia. And just like this podcast, it's been created to give you a competitive advantage so you can get superior results in property. Please come and join us today. Okay. The other thing we talked about was subdividing to build something. Now, that is more profitable, obviously, but also there may be more risk in that because there's more time involved. It takes longer to build something and there's more moving parts. You're going to have to get approval, not just to subdivide and to create two or three new blocks, but to actually get approval for what you're going to build on those blocks. One thing to consider is a complying development. So complying developments are ones where the state government says what they want to see. See, governments actually like development if it's the right development in the right areas. They want to free up housing supply and they want to create transport spines and infrastructure. They usually have a plan, and often it can be a 10-year or 20-year plan of where the urban sprawl is going to go. So knowing that, local councils and governments and even at a state level will decide what sort of accommodation is required. Now, back in the day when everyone had a family home and a backyard and mum did a Sunday roast and there weren't so many single people or single parent families or that sort of thing, when we had lower density living, the given was that you had a home with a yard. Apartments weren't really a big deal in Australia until Harry Trigopoff came along with Meriton and brought a European model to Australia, which was that they lived in apartments. And that's now become quite normal in Australia as well. So that higher density living is something that council will want to see. So council change with the times. They want to accommodate changing demographics and populations. So people stay single a lot longer now. There is a demand that there wasn't 30 years ago for studios and one bedroom apartments. In fact, there is more of a demand now for 3 and 4 bedroom apartments than ever before, because families are happy to live in apartments. They do it all over the world. It's just new to Australia. So whereas 20 years ago, you would have seen a development having a lot of one-bedders and studios, even since the pandemic, it has meant that people want to live in bigger places. They want more space. And what we want has changed the way we live and changed what council is prepared to allow people to build. So they respond to our demand. So for example, more recently in New South Wales, they've brought in a complying development, medium density housing code. What that means, and it's only been in New South Wales since 2020, and there's similar versions in other states, but it says that if you're building manor houses, so 4 apartments, 2 upstairs, 2 downstairs, or terraces, 4 terraces, or dual occupancies, so 2 side-by-side properties with a shared wall, then that can be a complying development. They said, these are the sort of properties that we want to see for multi-generational families living under the same roof and for medium density dwelling. So as long as it fits these checklists and this criteria, we're happy for a private certifier to rubber stamp it. So to stop the bottlenecks in council with properties wanting to be approved and more developments and council not having the resources, they've put it out there to developers and said, look, this is what we want. If you can deliver on this, you don't have to come through council. A private certifier, someone you can engage, can just make sure that it fits the code of what we want. Here's our checklist. And if you can stand and deliver that, you can have your approval within 2 weeks. So it short circuits a lot of time in council. So a great way to reverse engineer a small subdivision is find a block that will take a complying development. And in some states, complying developments are as simple as just a granny flat out the back. And if that's your family home, that can give you extra income on the side by taking a tenant in that granny flat. And when you think of granny flats, don't you? You think of Nana sitting up in a bed, a tiny little room with a little stove in the corner. But a lot of granny flats are luxury homes and big apartments these days and can be prefabricated. And that's another good trick. A lot of prefab homes are becoming the norm, where they're built in a factory and brought out and installed on site within a day. So it cuts building time down. Big wide world out there when it comes to subdivisions. And a great thing to build up over time in your property journey is, as you subdivide as a small developer, keep one property in each of your subdivisions. It's often possible to keep one block of land or one dwelling and sell off the rest and own it outright. And that way you're building for your retirement. There's a lot more that's possible if you've got the right tools, the right support, and the right systems. It all comes down to what I call science, support, and systems. And it can be easy when you're around the right people with the right resources. If you want to know more about subdividing, whether it's just for your family home to leverage and add more value with a granny flat or chopping off your backyard, or whether you're doing it as a one-off profit center or as a methodology for building wealth over time through property, then have a look in the notes section, and you may want to check out our property development course that has all of the tools, systems, and resources that you need to get up and running in small property subdivision and development. And for any other information and all your property needs, please visit our website, dginstitute.com.au, because we've got a lot of other giveaways that can support you on your property journey. Things like negotiation, mental toughness. We've got a lot of mini courses there that can get you in the right space to hit the ground running when it comes to property acquisitions. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.